Hello and welcome. It's our number two, of our radio program, a football power hour. And was Aaron Rodgers, while promoting a July golf event with Tom Brady, sending a dog whistle to the Packer fan and also to the Packer front office? We examine the evidence in that story. In addition, an amazing revelation from one Jed Who Fled, celebrity caller Jed Who Fled. You will not believe something that he claims he did a couple years back. We'll get to that and more. It's coming your way right now. Here it is, our number two. It's all about the publicity. That's why he spoke. Well, who's he? I'll tell you. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we bob and weave coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from deep inside the Magic Radio Box, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well with you. Our lead this hour comes from golf, but it's not really a golf story. It's more of a football story camouflaged on the links. Aaron Rodgers, he is promoting the upcoming TV spectacle that he will take part in on the links. It's coming up here soon, and if you didn't see this, maybe you missed it, in a conversation that was moderated by Brian Anderson, who I believe is the Brewers television broadcaster. He does stuff at Turner. Brian Anderson over at Turner, and he had a round table, everyone in their own location, their own little box. Aaron Rodgers, he chatted with Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, and Bryson DeChambeau to discuss the July 6th, which will be here before you know it, matchup, Rodgers and DeChambeau in a made-for-TV spectacle against Aaron Rodgers and Phil Mickelson. So that's, a rematch of the NFC Championship game, but on the golf course. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and they were joking around, having a wonderful time. Chuckle. And Brian Anderson pointing out that Rodgers seemed to be keeping a low profile in the offseason. Oh! And everyone laughs. Anyway, let's get to the meat of the matter here. And here is Aaron Rodgers in this love fest. Aaron Rodgers, was he sending a message? Let's go to the audio tape about his offseason.
It's been one of those quiet off-seasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this off-season's been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player at the same time. It's been great.
Yeah. Of course, the reason he has that is because he hasn't shown up to his responsibilities. That's why he has.
Relax.
It was a mandatory mini camp. He didn't show up for it, so he was surfing in Hawaii. Now, listen, we know what the real story is. Boy, this is a Wisconsin-heavy show, man. I feel like I'm doing local talk in Milwaukee or Appleton. You know, I'm doing like local Wisconsin talk here. Last hour was mostly about the Bucks. Now
Who?
We're doing a Packer monologue with Aaron Rodgers. Anyway, listen, Aaron Rodgers didn't show up to the offseason workouts that he was supposed to be at. He's been having this back and forth through intermediaries with the management of the Packers. And while it is unknown whether or not Rodgers is willing to get fined some legitimate money and not show up to training camp when that begins in late July, we know that he is living the life of Riley, traveling around to Hawaii and to whatnot, different locations, tropical locations. So let us discuss. All right, the question here. Was Aaron Rodgers, in that soundbite that we played and some of the other soundbites we didn't play, was Aaron Rodgers sending a dog whistle to the Packers fans and the Packers in that interview? And I'm going to go yes on this. I am going to go yes on this. Now, I've got Larry David, garments, and toe And how are those three things related? We'll put them all together, and we are going to make some pretzels. Stadium soft pretzel. Wonderful. Now, are you a cheese person or not a cheese person?
Dan, make the barbecue noise, Dan.
We'll do that. Calm down, bring it home, Jerome. We'll do that later. All right. Everything in its time. All right, so Larry David, garments in tow. Now, number one. All right, so for the untrained ear, that just sounds fine. I mean, there's nothing really outrageous about it. It's just Aaron Rodgers goofing around, playing grab ass. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. That was it. But dig a little deeper. I have a trained ear. I have bad hearing because I've been in radio and I've been wearing headphones for a long time, but I can still decipher what's going on. You got to dig below the surface. There were some subliminal and some not so subliminal messages that were being sent. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were in cahoots. They were in cahoots. This had the vibe. Watched several clips here on social media. It had the vibe to me of Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm, my favorite show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, unconventional, loosely written outline with improv. And that's how it played out to my ear. That's what it sounded like. Like Tom Brady was working as the quarterback, setting up a bubble screen pass to Aaron Rodgers to get big chunk yardage. And they had a message. They wanted to get out. And they got it out. There was one exchange in particular that I thought was outstanding. Tom Brady said, I do think you have a partner. He's talking to Rodgers. I do think you have a partner that would like to go for it. He was talking to Bryson DeChambeau about Rodgers, rather. He says, I do think you have a partner that would like to go for it a little more often than he has in the past, playing grab ass. Rodgers responded, well, I usually don't have the option. A swipe at the coach and the front office of the Packers. And then Tom Brady came back and said, I know the pain! Yeah, which was Brady interjecting and managing to take a pot shot at the Patriots. That was at Belichick and the Patriots. That was all in fun and all that. It's not like a war crime, but he was taking a shot at the Patriots when he said that. I know the pain, but not anymore because I hang out with Bruce Arians. No risk it, no biscuit. That's my new coach. No risk it, no biscuit. He's eating a lot of biscuits, so he knows Bruce Arians. Now, the second thing here, this latest chapter follows a carbon copy of what's been going on for months. We said, yes, we believe this is a dog whistle. Aaron Rodgers continues to be the passive-aggressive OG on the warpath. He's the old gangster, passive-aggressive style on the warpath. Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James are very similar in that respect. But this is about Aaron Rodgers. He's angry. He's resentful at the front office of the Packers. He's frustrated that he hasn't gotten what he wanted, but he mostly hides it publicly. He allows other people to speak for him. We mentioned there's middling people that are in between, go-betweens. He finds indirect ways, Rodgers, to show his true intentions. Now, what is my evidence that this interview was on that spectrum? Well, you didn't see it if you're hearing about it for the first time now, but I recommend you go look, and you should look at the garments. Look at the garments. Now, why is that? I'll tell you. Calm down. In his first public appearance since the Packer president, Mark Murphy, the CEO of the Packers, called Aaron Rodgers a quote, complicated fella. What did Rodgers have on? Rodgers was wearing a black T-shirt with white writing that said, quote, I am offended. It said, I am offended. Even our guy Blind Emmett, the Seahawk fan, could see and read the writing on that shirt because when you put the white on the black, it stands out, right? It's like yellow on black, white on, I mean, it's a combination. I know when I worked at the radio station in San Diego, the mic flags, the reporter, and their logo, they had a black mic flag with bright yellow, like gold. And man, that thing stood out. You could see that from the other side of the room. The reason taxi cabs, which aren't really a thing anymore. It's Uber mostly, but there are still taxi cabs in some cities, like New York, for example, Manhattan. And the reason those are yellow is because there was a study done like 150 years ago that determined the human eye sees yellow from the furthest distance. That's a non sequitur. I just wanted to work that in. Anyway, so Rogers had white writing, but it said, "I'm offended." It was obviously a subtle shot at Mark Murphy, the CEO, president of the Packers. Might as well have been written in Braille. All right, final point. So Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood, sounded to me like he couldn't care less about playing in the NFL, and he had the tone of a guy who's contemplating retirement. That's what it sounded like to me. Right, running from responsibilities, living the good life. The way it came across was like, hey, this is a trial run. This is a trial. No, I realize he kicked in there at the end of it and said, you know, hey, while still being an NFL player, but still being an NFL player. That's not how it sounded, though. Aaron Rodgers sounded like a guy dipping his toe in the life after football waters and liking it, enjoying a nice Hawaiian luau on the beach there, and hosting Jeopardy, traveling to the movie set where his future wife is making some terrible movie, and doing that kind of thing, right? And so, and seeing whether he can handle that and whether he's ready to take the plunge. So that's where I am on the latest episode as Aaron Rodgers turns. It is the Ben Maller Show. We'll take your calls, 877-99 on Fox. If you would like to be part, 877-996-6369. You can join the festivities. And sometimes I'll go hang out with relatives. You know, a lot of my family, they're not sports people. I'm one of the few people in the family that has the sports gene. And when I go out, you know, sometimes I'll have relatives that'll kind of goof on sports, you know. And there's a story here, which we're going to call it the prop flop, which shows you the amazing financial power of sport. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
So the power of sport, we're calling it the prop flop. We'll get to that. James the Machinist writes in, says, first the Bucks, now the Packers. I look forward to hour three, when you break down the Brewers' bullpen. Yeah. Well, in hour four, we'll talk Wisconsin Badgers football. Have they had a good recruiting class here? All right, to the phones we go, and Obi is in La La Land. Hello, Obi. You are next on Fox Sports Radio.
Good evening, Mr. Maller. Hello. How are you today?
If I was any better, I would be a Buck, but not a Milwaukee Buck, because they blew a 17-point lead against one guy in Durant.
I appreciate the fact that you mentioned how poorly some of these NBA coaches are. I mean, it's amazing to me that these guys don't know how to make adjustments in the playoffs, and I think that's the difference between guys. I mean, all these people I think are kind of the same. You know, you got Buttigieg, you got D'Antoni, you got Doc Rivers. All these guys can't coach in the playoffs. They just sit around during the season and let their guys play. And then when the playoffs, when it's time for them to make adjustments, they don't make any adjustments. It's amazing. You said it very nicely when you said that. Why wasn't Durant covered by the Greek Freak? The Greek Freak is supposedly one of the best defenders in the league, and you don't put him on there? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, and I killed Budenholzer in the Bucks, but Giannis, as I said, and we did the monologue last hour, if those of you missed it, we're covered up by other programming, you can go back and hear the podcast. But the point of that was, Giannis, it's not the coach's fault that he dropped a pass that would have been a dunk. That's not Budenholzer's fault. and also the fact that he couldn't score against James Harden. If you're coaching the Bucks and you have one-on-one Giannis Antetokounmpo and James Harden, one of the laziest defensive players in the history of the NBA, and you take a fallaway jump shot in that situation late game? Come on.
I don't disagree with that, but you could also have Brook Lopez play in the hole, who was killing him. Brook Lopez was killing him in the middle, and they didn't go back to it. And it just astounds me that these guys are so bad in the playoffs in terms of making adjustments.
Now, are you a Bucks fan, or are you just a random NBA fan?
I'm a random NBA fan.
Okay, random NBA fan. I got you.
Yeah, but it's just astounding.
Yeah. Well, the D'Antoni Doc Rivers is a great comparison because I think they're the same guy. They've got the gift of gab. They're very good with the media. Rivers and D'Antoni. They can talk your socks off, but you don't necessarily want them coaching a playoff game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And Stotts is the same way. It's amazing to me that the Trailblazers lost to the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets looked horrible against the Suns. It was terrible. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maller. Have a great evening.
There you go. You too. There you go. Or night. You know, evening, night. I don't know. I don't know what time it is. I don't keep track of time. I don't. Yeah. Let's go to the phones again. Back to it we go. Let's say hello to Jed, who fled, who is returning. When are you going back to jail to stop haunting me? When is your court date? When do we have that? Do we have a date?
Jail, man, you're fine. The 24th is a court date that I got moved because I was in jail in Washington. Oh my, I almost said the county. Would have been too easy to identifiable.
Wait. You think now the Maller Militia? We have an investigative arm of the Maller Militia,
dude. You know my name and you know the county I lived. You no doubt there'd be no confusion.
So you're saying if we could track down where you are, we could get a mugshot of you. Like we've had.
Dan, when I was a school teacher back in 2014, there was school the next day. It was a Wednesday going into a Thursday at 4 a.m. And I was passed out of the gas pump asleep with the car and drive.
You were
and
a school teacher? Wait a minute. Hey,
I already had the next day off. I had the next day off, but nobody seems to think that matters.
Yeah. How did you become a teacher?
I took the certification, dog, and there was a shortage of applicants.
What were you teaching? What kind of teacher were you?
Look at you stammering like Jed, dude. You are startled by this. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I was a pretty good teacher, with the exception of at the end of the year, I did not turn in any lesson plans, nor grade book.
You were a PE teacher.
Coop says you were a PE teacher.
Yeah. I was PE until I got in trouble, you know, the narcotics there about November. And then they brought me back and protected me a little bit with computers, because everybody in the school takes PE. And thus the lawsuits are a little more open. But I bought computers when I came back.
Wow, the educational system in Florida is outstanding. Jed, who fled. Wow.
Let's remember that Eddie Garcia and I, we have a altercation from time to time, and yet I swept the first round with his guidance last night, and you couldn't even get the guy to do anything. I mean,
listen, that was not a legitimate win. That trucker.
It was a legitimate loss, I'll tell you that.
That trucker weasel. Sabotaged the game. He's
claimed better than the guy you replaced him with.
He claimed he didn't know John Stockton. I told you it was going to happen, Jed. I said that guy, Trucker Joe, was going to kill the game, and that's exactly what he did. He knew who Greg Ostertag was, but not John Stockton. They played together. Come on. At the end of Stockton's career.
Jed, did you use your golden ticket to call in right here?
No, he did not.
Absolutely not, Dan.
Oh. He's saving
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not. I use my golden tickets to get out right when I get out of jail.
He's going
to
sell that on the dark web, that golden ticket. He's going to sell that on the dark web. Well, your golden tickets last longer because you go away for so long when you're in the lockup. So.
Well, when chicks come to me for the golden ticket, you know what I'm saying? A little shower involved. They like me to last a long time there, too. But anyway, I got a court date the 24th of this month. And looking back, man, I very much wonder how any parent that knew who I was allowed me to teach their child. That is a dark decision for a child's future. I'll give you that.
All right, Jed. Well, anyway,
much love, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
There you go. Teacher Jed, who fled. Yeah, you too can send your kids to school and have their education from Jed, who fled.
So glad I don't have kids.
Can you imagine, Eddie? Yeah, the kids at school. Yeah. What you do today at school? Our teacher taught us how to shoot heroin. Wow. Okay. Unbelievable.
Well, it was educational, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he's not teaching anymore. And do they do background checks on teachers, or is that only in certain states they do background checks? I don't know how that works. Wow, wow, wow. Let's keep it going here. Playing the hits. Sir Scratch-Off is next in Arkansas, the highways and byways. Hello, Sir Scratch-Off.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing better than the speakerphone that you are talking on.
I am sorry, but I'm driving. If you hang on this.
All right, I'll put you back on hold. All right, there you go. Oh, did he pick up the phone? Now he's going to be upset. See, I better go back to him. Hold on a second. Are you there? Are you there, Sir Scratch-Off?
Yeah, hang on.
No. All right, hold on. All right.
Just a second.
Okay. Plenty of time. It's not like we're on the air. People might be listening. Not many.
You there?
Oh, there he is. There he is, the man that can take down 6 corn dogs in one night.
Yeah, I'm taking it kind of easy tonight, man. I'm eating Little Debbie. I already ate a cherry pie and apple pie.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Careful how you say that there, but jeez.
I've been loving her for years, my friend.
Does your wife know about that? Is your wife aware?
Man, I'm married to a nurse, man. She don't know how to cook. Hey, I had some bad news today, dude. We lost one of our sports talk guys in Jonesboro today. They found him in his bed this morning.
Oh, really? Well, that's sad.
Yeah, he's on the ticket down there. And matter of fact, his name is Wally. And we got the news today, and it's been all over our news and everything down there in the regular news. And he was a big known sports person down there. Well, I've been listening to you guys 20 years. They got me listening to you guys. Matter of fact, by hearing them, I hear your station, you know.
Well, our condolences to Wally. I'm sure he was very popular, and he had a lot of
Never
fans.
Heard of him.
And,
he reminds me of Eddie because he's just a cool natured dude, and you hardly ever hear anything come out of his mouth that shouldn't be. We just, they're really funny about that in Jonesboro. That's a big Christian town down there. They just kind of watch it, you know.
Well, Eddie would be good in that. Yeah, I don't think I would do well there, Sir Scratch.
No, you're fine. You're fine, Ben. I just tell you, he's kind of like
you. You get upset.
Thank you, Jesus!
Well, no, you get upset every once in a while, Sir Scratch-Off. You get every once in a while, I'll go third rail, and you get offended. You're annoyed by things I say.
I get over it, though, Ben. I just, I've been out here listening to all this sports 20 years, you know, everybody, and I just, I enjoy all this sports talking. But you know, I'll tell you something, too. You're talking about your boy again out there. I'm going to tell you, I got a lady in Jonesboro does all my uniform for my softball teams.
Yeah, what's the name of your softball team?
Do what now?
What is the name of your – do you have a goofy softball name? What's the name
of
your team?
No, it's called Endurance.
Endurance. That's not a goofy name. That's just like –
No, it's pretty – we're pretty good. We just started about 10 games. We've already won 8 out of 10.
What are you?
My son plays on my team.
Are you a catcher?
No, sir. I'm a coach.
Oh, you're the coach? Oh.
Yep.
What kind of coach are you? Like, how would you describe your managerial style?
I do okay, except for you said something here a while back about a coach. Something happened to a player and an umpire or something like that. I had a deal happen with one here a while back 2 years ago, and I still got a little scar on my knuckles. But I went up to the back of the fence there because the umpire kept kind of being stupid. And he told me, he said, I wish I was out behind. And I don't know why he said this, because I've had all kind of self-defense classes, and I kind of had to hold that because we're supposed to tell anybody if we're going to use it. But it wasn't
What are you, like a ninja?
No, I don't tell very many people this, Ben. I really don't, because what I do for a living, I try to keep it away. But I'm one belt away from having a black belt. And my rec happened 4 years.
What's the belt before the black belt? What's the one?
Well, you have your brown, you have your yellow, and you have all you
racist,
have, you
know, racist.
Kinds. But I walked up and he said, "I wish I was out behind this fence." He said we'd have words. And so just about the time he pulled his face back away from that fence, I balled up my fist and I got thrown out for 3 games. But I balled up my fence and I hit that chain link fence as hard as I could with that thing and it kind of messed up my knuckle.
He's like that Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah, he's like
Chris Farley.
Billy Martin.
No, Roberto. Roberto, we have a lot of parents down there. They like to be the coach in the stands.
Yeah. Well, that's everywhere. That's everywhere. All right, so what were you saying about the uniform? I got to go. What were you saying about the uniform?
No, I got a lady down there that does my uniform stuff like that. And I've been telling her, I said, I want you to make me a hat for a guy on the radio in California. She said, what do you mean you want me to make a hat? I said, because I want you to cut a yellow hat right in the middle, and I want you to cut an
racist
orange hat right in the middle. And I want to put Lakers on the back of it. I want to put Altuve on the front of where it's orange.
Wow. All right, and you can watch me. I'll burn it. I'll burn it on the internet. I will literally burn that on the internet if you're like, all right, get out of here with that nonsense. How dare you?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw this note from the NFL, and I root for Derek Carr. He's a fellow Fresno State Bulldog like myself, of course, the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. He said in an interview, I don't know what the context of this quote was, but he said if he were traded to another team, that he would probably quit football.
Yeah.
That's his love for the silver and black, Roberto.
Two things. First of all, you could see his nose growing when he said that. That's number one.
That's a lot of nonsense right there. He's not quitting football.
Yeah, and here's what's going to happen when Derek Carr plays for another team. Well, you know, in hindsight, I shouldn't have said that, but I'm very emotional, and yeah. Now, how many years does he have left? He's got 2 years left on his contract, so he's essentially got to get a new contract after this season or he's a lame duck, and they don't want to have a lame duck, so it is...
You're saying it's a big year for him.
Big year for Derek Carr. Big year for Derek Carr to get paid. Get paid that money. The only player I can recall off the top of my head who retired rather than playing for a team because of rivalry or whatever, Jackie Robinson. The Dodgers traded Jackie Robinson to the Giants, and he retired. Although I think there were health reasons he actually retired, but the legend of Jackie Robinson is he retired because he didn't want to play for the Giants.
I do remember, and this nobody will remember this, but do you remember Royce Clayton?
Oh, shortstop.
Yes.
Yeah, Giants, Cardinals.
Yeah,
right?
He got traded to my Pirates back in the day, and he announced he was retiring.
Rather than
playing for the Pirates. They then traded him to the White Sox, and suddenly he's like, oh, yeah, I'll play again.
Wow. Royce Clayton had the kind of power to – it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a good name, though, Royce Clayton.
Thank you.
He's decent. Good defensive player. So-so hitter. The steroid era?
Yeah, he can hit.
Yeah. Roberto, you were fully decked out, man. Did you go to the Dodger game?
No, I wish.
I saw a lot of people did go, right? The first game with the full attendance.
Quite upset.
Biggest attendance since pandemic. Everything has been reopened.
I'm upset, though, because I was told, we do the show from California. I was told, open up. They made a big deal and all this. So I went out. I do some shopping during the day when I woke up in the afternoon. I'm going out doing some shopping. And everyone's wearing masks everywhere. I'm like, I thought we didn't have to do that anymore. I thought California was open up. You didn't have to do it. And everywhere I went.
Well, I found out I'm going to Disneyland on Friday. I told you we're returning.
Very exciting.
They told us no masks, no social distancing. So
there you go.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. And when you get your $12 box of popcorn, you can enjoy that, Eddie. No one.
It'll be $12 something else, but not popcorn.
What do you get at Disneyland? What's your go-to?
I enjoy the red.
That's the train, Eddie. The train is leaving downtown Disney.
I think it's the red wagon corn dog. I think that's the
you like that. Is that the size of your forearm?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. My wife always wants to eat. There's that restaurant in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Blue Bayou.
Yeah, I've never eaten there.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
The menu doesn't look.
The Monte Cristo sandwich.
Oh my God.
To die for.
It is the best.
That's awesome.
It is the best.
All right. You guys have all eaten there?
Yeah.
I've ate there, but I used to go to Disneyland just for the Monte Cristo.
Oh, come on.
I swear. My ex was one of those girls that was super obsessed with Disneyland, had the season pass, wanted to go all the time, and I was like, I can't stand Disneyland, but I went for that Monte Cristo sandwich.
We've all got something we like there.
There is in down. In,
it is
not,
damn good.
Not downtown. What's the California Adventure? What's the other one? There's a ice cream shop.
Oh, Ghirardelli's.
Oh, my God. That's a Bay Area place. But it's got that cookie sundae.
Oh, my God.
Ben,
I'm not even, believe it or not, I'm not a huge ice cream person. Yeah. I mean, I like it sometimes when it's hot.
Yeah.
We always go there. It's so good.
And there's like a chocolate rivalry because in Southern California, it's See's Candy. But in Northern California, it's
Ghirardelli.
I agree, Ghirardelli, the ice cream sandwich, the ice cream sundae, man. Oh, you can feel like 10 pounds going in your body, but it's wonderful.
Though. Yeah,
It's like, I'll just go on the treadmill. That's
I have to go for a week, but, you know, it's okay. I mean,
there's nothing
week
wrong
straight.
With that. Yeah, I'll just keep, you know, that's fine.
I got diabetes, but oh well. Nothing will happen.
Just don't tell the doctor. Come on, man. You can be like Jed, who fled, have a first name basis with the ER doctor who tells you to die. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Have an ice cream cone and a shot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Insulin. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Yeah. What could possibly be wrong?
Well, speaking of reopening, I just want to.
Yes, Coop. We still have all our signs up here to follow the guidelines here. Yes.
Good thing we all have our masks on right now.
That's right. I am messed up. It's radio. We're all wearing. I'm wearing a bag on my head right now. That's how messed up I am.
I will be at the Angel Stadium reopening.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Koopaloop.
When's
Look
that coming
that.
Up?
This Thursday. And Ohtani will be on the mound.
Ohtani!
Yeah. The great Ohtani. Well, that's very exciting, Koopaloop.
So if any of you Orange County militia members
are
going to be
there. Look at that.
Ohtani!
He wants to meet, press the flesh, Koopaloop, an emergency Maller Koopaloop meet and greet, which is even better than
Maller
meet and greet.
I expect a packed house.
So you'll actually be at the Big A, and Mike Trout won't be. But you'll...
that's correct.
Who are the Angels playing that day?
The Tigers.
Oh, the Tigers. That's a big game.
Yeah.
I think Chet Lemon's dangerous. You better watch out there.
Kurt I love Gibson. Going to these types of games.
Yeah? Why is that?
Well, because it sucks going to a game and seeing a loss.
So I
pick teams where it's most likely. I mean, who knows with this team?
Now what's your fan record? Do you have a good fan record? Have you done your...
Oh, my God. This reminds me of...
I used to do this too when I was younger. Fan record.
I haven't.
Unbelievably awful.
I've never kept track, but it's probably bad.
There were years, Ben, I would go to Dodger Stadium to see the Pirates. Yeah. Even when they were good, they'd always lose when I go. It was like 20-something and counting losses in a row.
That's impressive.
Oh, my God.
That is impressive. I think everyone has to do that. Like a fan, if you're in an area where you have your favorite teams, you got to do like the fan scoreboard. Like how,
like in the 90s, they'd win like 2 of 3. The one they'd lose, the one I would go to. It's unbelievable.
What about when Mike Fetters was on the Pirates and you were the Mike Fetters doppelganger?
He gave me a baseball in the bullpen at Anaheim Stadium.
Yeah, because you're dead ringer for former Major League player Mike Fetters.
I had a great sign. Remember that sign?
Yes, I do. You had the Pirate hat and the jersey. The
I
whole
cut a hole in a big piece of poster board. I put Mike Fetters' head on there, and then I put my head through the hole with the Pirate hat on.
That was
and
great.
I sat right in the bullpen. You know those seats, Coop, that are right there in the visiting bullpen? And the Pirates bullpen guys loved it.
That's
great. Mike Fetters wasn't that thrilled about it.
No.
But he gave me baseball, so that was cool.
Fetters, I wonder what he's doing. He must be coaching somewhere. He's a good guy.
He was with the Diamondbacks last I heard.
Yeah, he played with the Dodgers.
He was coaching the Diamondbacks.
He had that hilarious thing where he whipped his head around.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Ooh. I'm doing it right now.
I know. Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, I could twist my neck. Imagine me calling the management. I did a Mike Fetters impersonation on the red. Well, who can see it, Ben? Nobody can see it. It's on the red. Well, I did it, but for the guys. I did it for the guys. And Anyway, it is the Ben Maller Show. This portion of the Ben Maller Show made possible by Discover Card. We believe a better tomorrow is possible for everyone. Discover something brighter. So I mentioned earlier, I have relatives that aren't really sports people. They don't have a sports gene like we have as sports people listening to a sports radio show. You are, and we're doing a sports radio show here on this side of the microphone. And so I bring up Cristiano Ronaldo, who had a news conference. There was a news conference ahead of Portugal's game with Hungary. This happened on Monday. And as you often see at news conferences, they have props. And sometimes it'll be Gatorade. It's a power drink. In this case, it was a soda. It was Coca-Cola. There was a couple of bottles of Coca-Cola that were there on the table at the dais. And so here comes Ronaldo to speak, and Ronaldo decides to make a stand against Coca-Cola, who's a sponsor, right? So he decides, I'm going to trash the Coca-Cola bottling company, and he removed the soft drinks from the camera's view and then got on his high horse and said people should drink water instead. Now, I have a feeling Roberto knows this story from the look on his face here, but for Eddie, if you're not familiar with this, there was a financial hit. How big a financial hit did Coca-Cola take from this Euro 2020 press conference with Cristiano Ronaldo trashing Coca-Cola? How many dollars did they lose?
Let's go $5 million.
That's a great guess. That's a lot of money, Eddie. $5 million, a lot of money. Coop, have you seen this story? Are you aware, Coop?
I have not seen this story.
Take a guess here, Coop. What do you think here?
I'm going to say $15 million.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money. The correct answer, according to what we're hearing here, Cristiano Ronaldo, the removal of the Coke bottles, that followed by a $4 billion price tag being knocked off the market value of Coca-Cola. $4 billion! Because a soccer player removed a bottle of Coke and said, drink water. Now, that shows you that he's slightly more famous than I, because I've taken a strong water position on this show and said I lost a lot of weight because I stopped doing stuff. And Coca-Cola's value actually went up when I said that. They actually gained money when I said that. But wow.
He could get away with something like that. I mean, if it was like Joe Schmo, soccer player, they would have fined him.
Oh, you're
up
right.
The wazoo. Yeah, but yeah, since it's a big star and everybody loves him, they probably would just let it slide.
Coca-Cola's shares were worth $56.1 each when the market opened in Europe on Monday. By the end of the press conference, they had fallen to 55.2 each. That's a 1.6% drop. Now, do you think it's all because of Ronaldo? I don't know. Probably not, but they're giving him credit, so that means a $4 billion loss in market value there. But I think Coke's going to be okay. They're still worth $238 billion, so I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be okay.
They should go to Messi and say, how about hooking us up? We'll give you some shares.
No.
He says, I love Coke.
No, what should happen here is the people over at Pepsi should go to Ronaldo and say, you know, on second thought, rather than drink water, Pepsi's the way to go. That's it right there, Pepsi. Anyway. All right, we will have a mallard of the third degree, time permitting. We went a little long on that. Here's the Insta trivia. Trae Young had 25 points and 18 assists in Atlanta's win over the Sixers the other night. That's the most assists in a playoff game by a 25-point scorer since blank. That's the Insta trivia. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones, although just don't refer to him as the call screener. He is the liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
Wow. Eddie, it's the biggest package I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you got a big box there in the break room I saw, Ben. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
What's in the box, Eddie? What's in the box?
You'll find out.
We will find out. We're going to push back Maller to the third degree for timing reasons, for ratings purposes, Eddie. But the good news is we got to hear about ice cream at Disneyland and fan records when going to games. All important content. All very important content. And we got that on the radio.
There's no question.
Yes, but we will have the third degree shortly. Here's the Insta trivia. So Trae Young had 25 points and 18 assists in Atlanta's win over the Sixers the other night. That's the most assists in a postseason game by a 25-point scorer since blank. That is the question. What is the answer? And the answer's pouring in. David in Seattle, who knows where all the good restaurants are, is going with old-school Sonic Mike Bantam as his answer. Scott Goreltz from Mr. Nice Guy, San Francisco Giant pitching legend, who looks kind of like in that photo Steve DeSager to me. A little bit like Steve DeSager. Good-looking guy. Who else do we have? Paige down here. Paige down. John Stockton from Matthew Warrior Raider A's fan. Vontigo Cummings from Malibu Reuben. And Vashawn Leonard, Miami Heat legend, tossed out by Chris in Des Moines. The Pink Panther from the Dolphin fan, the General Sherman Douglas from the Midnight Walker. That's his answer. Penny Hardaway, tossed out by Paulie D. No Tippin, Scottie Pippen from Will in Pennsylvania. Let's see here. Terry says, is it Woka Cola shares price or share price? Playoff Rondo from Just. Wait, Playoff Rondo, I'm not impressed. Not impressed with playoff Rondo so far. I am impressed with playoff Batum. Do you have an answer, Eddie? Please, you have an answer.
Yes, it's World Be Free.
Former Clipper World Be Free. That's incorrect, Eddie. The correct answer, way back in 1991, Tim Hardaway, the original, not Tim Hardaway Jr., the original Tim Hardaway with the Warriors and the Heat and all that, was the last guy to do it. That's a long time ago, 1991. I wasn't even alive, Eddie, in 1991.
Never heard of
him. That's how long ago that was. I barely, you know, it's just a figment of imagination.